Psalm 24. It's on page 555 of the Church Bibles, if you want to read along. Psalm 24. Of David, a psalm. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. This is the word of the Lord. Over to you, Dan.
Thanks, Niku. Let's pray, shall we, as we think about that psalm a little bit this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here with us by your Spirit. And we pray that these words of David might be words to us from you this evening. Open our eyes to see you more clearly. Open our minds to understand your truth. Open our hearts that we might respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Happy New Year, everyone. That might seem a bit of a strange thing to say if you don't know what I'm talking about. It isn't quite Christmas yet, and New Year is at least a month or so away. But in fact, today is the first day of the new year, at least if you're following the church's calendar. The church has a sort of year cycle of celebrating who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And the church's year starts on the first Sunday of Advent. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. So today is the first day of the new year of the church's year. So there you go. You've learned something if you didn't know that already. A little bit of information. Today is the first day of the church's year. But that is an important thing. Not just as a little bit of trivia, a little bit of interesting things to think about. But it's important because it helps us to remember that the church's year begins with preparation. It begins with preparation. Now, we know all about preparations, don't we? This is the kind of year when preparations happen. If you think about Christmas, it's only a few weeks away now, and if we were in denial about its annual arrival up to this point, now that December has finally hit, we can't really escape it. And we know that Christmas is coming, and perhaps we think about, or we've already started to engage in, the preparations for Christmas. Yeah, there are presents to buy, there are presents to wrap, there are cards to write, there are cards to receive. I got my first Christmas cards on the 1st of December this year. There is food to buy and all those kind of things that you need to sort out for Christmas. Or maybe you're going to visit people for Christmas, and you have to think about packing and what you're going to take with you, and you have to buy tickets, or you have to plan a route, and all those kind of things, those preparations that lie ahead of us over the coming weeks. But actually, despite all that, as we've been thinking about already this evening, all of those preparations that we have for Christmas are not really the preparations that Advent is all about. Advent, for all its kind of preparation, or all its sort of run-up to Christmas, is not really about the preparations for Christmas. It is about the preparations for the coming of Jesus, but not the coming of Jesus that we think of at Christmas. Advent is all about preparing for the return of Jesus, his second coming. And that's not something we tend to think that much about. Once December hits, we probably put Christmas carols on the sound system that we use, and we sing along all the things about Christmas. We very rarely think that much in these coming weeks about the second coming of Jesus. So we're going to spend just a couple of weeks, this week and next, before we get too wrapped up in Christmas, thinking about Advent and thinking about the second coming of Jesus. So we're going to pause from our Christmas preparations, and we're going to think about preparing for that day when Jesus comes again. And this psalm, Psalm 24, is a brilliant place for us to do that. It's a brilliant place for us to linger for just a little while to think about how to prepare for the coming of the King. Because this is a psalm all about preparation. So if you've got a Bible open or a Bible app or something like that, look again at verse 7. Those words that are repeated. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Now, some slightly strange imagery going on here. You might first read that, as I did for as a sort of young Christian, and think, what on earth is that about? Lift up your heads, you gates. Gates don't have heads. That's a strange thing for David, the psalm writer, to say. But what David is doing here is he's picturing the gates of Jerusalem, the massive gates that would have opened up for people to come and go, or protected people as they were closed at night. He's picturing the gates as people. And he's saying, look, stand up straight, you gates. If you're pictured as people, get your best clothes on. Be on your best behavior. Yeah, the kind of attitude that pupils no doubt have when Mrs. Cox enters the room at assembly. They start to sit up straight and pay attention, ideally. Yeah, it's that idea of something important is happening. Get ready. Be prepared. And the reason is because the King is coming. Psalm 24 is all about preparing for the coming of the King. I just imagine for a moment, if the monarch comes, preparations need to be made. So think about what happens when the queen pays a visit somewhere. Maybe you've been there when the queen has visited, or a member of the royal family has come along. Or maybe you can just sort of imagine it, having seen the reports on the TV of those occasions where the queen has come to visit a community center or a church or a school or somewhere like that. Yeah, everything gets ready. The week beforehand, everything is polished to within an inch of its life. Everything is cleaned and tidied up. Gets a nice spring clean. All the litter is picked up from outside. The roads are all repaved. All the potholes are filled in. So that's the secret to getting potholes filled in, is to make sure the Queen is coming. And then everything gets sorted out. My dad often jokes that the Queen must think that the entire country smells of paint, because everywhere she goes has just been newly painted, just to make sure it's all ready for her. So she must go around thinking, this is a very strange smell everywhere. It smells like paint. Well, if you imagine all of the preparations that go into getting ready for the Queen to arrive, that is the kind of thing this psalm is encouraging us to engage with. We are to get ready for the coming of the King. Advent is about stopping and thinking about what it means to get ready for the coming of the King. Not just ready for Christmas, not just ready for visitors, not just ready for Christmas dinner, but ready for the coming of the King. So as we pause for just a moment this evening, I want us to ask two questions of this psalm. The first is this: why prepare at all? And then secondly, how do we prepare? So here's the first question: why prepare? And the answer to that question we've really already seen is, why prepare? Because the King is coming. That is the reason to get ready and to get prepared. But as you read the psalm, you might begin to think to yourself, hang on a minute, why does Jerusalem have to be prepared? Surely the King was there already, right? In fact, wasn't this song written by David, who was the king in Jerusalem? So why on earth do the people of Israel, does the city of Jerusalem need to get ready when the king is already there? And that is, of course, true. David is the king who wrote this song. David lived in Jerusalem. That's where his house was. That's where his dwelling was. And you might begin to think, well, surely this psalm, therefore, is a big ego trip. This is just David saying, come on, everyone, look, I'm here. Woohoo! This is great. Come and welcome me, because I'm the king. Now, that might be what we first think, but it's not really what David has in mind. This is why this psalm is so special. Because this psalm is written by the king, but it's written about a different king. It's written by David, it's about Jesus. And David, as he writes this, has a bigger king, a better king in mind. God, through his Spirit, is speaking to David and helping David see that his kingship, however grand and glorious that may have been, is only a fraction of the better kingship that is to come. So, look at verse 8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Who is the king? It's not David, it's the Lord. And when you see the Lord in capitals like that, it means Yahweh. The name for God. It is God himself who is coming into the city as the King of glory. See, the reason to prepare is because God himself comes to us. And on that day when Jesus returns, he will finally be seen by everyone as glorious and majestic and wonderful as God himself. And just in case we haven't got that, we're given some further reasons to prepare in the opening verses of the psalm. So again, look with me at verses 1 and 2. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. We should prepare because God is our king. And he is our king because everything belongs to him. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It's worth just pausing there for a moment and just let that sink in. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. There is no corner of this world that does not belong to God. There is nowhere on this globe that you can go and say there is a patch of land that God does not own. There is no part of the ocean that you could dive down, nowhere deep enough you could say, God does not have ownership over that. The earth is the Lord and everything in it. And that doesn't mean just the sea and the dry land. It means us too. There is no person on this world who does not owe their existence to God. Including each one of us. God says over each one of us, you are mine. You belong to me. Everything belongs to God. If you go into the city of London, you right at the heart of the city, you can find a building called the Royal Exchange. Here's a picture of it. It was opened in 1571 by Queen Elizabeth I. And it was to act as the center of commerce for the city of London. And it did so for many hundreds of years. The insurance company Lloyd's of London were based there for about 150 years. But if you go and visit there now, you'll find that its role has changed slightly. It is now basically a shopping mall, a very high-end shopping mall with places like Tiffany's that you can go and a very grand cafe in the middle. It's very, very interesting, very, very grand, well worth a visit. But what's fascinating about the Royal Exchange is not only that it's wonder and grandeur, but right at the top, and you can barely see it even zoomed in, carved into the very top of the building are these words from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Or because it's a little bit older, the earth is the Lord's and its fullness thereof. Which sounds very grand, doesn't it? The fullness thereof. And it's a fascinating thing to think about. Here is a building that was once the center of trade and commerce. If you like, the center of our own self-sufficiency. The center of a place that says we have everything we need and we can do everything ourselves. And now it's a shopping center, as it were, a place full of luxuries. A place dedicated now to the pursuit of personal pleasure. But written above it is the earth is the Lord's. And everything in it. It is a reminder that there is a king who made it all, who made us all, and who we need to prepare for. You see, I think that building is a great reminder of the fact that we simply don't treat God as our king and as our ruler as we ought to. Just think back over the last week. Were there times where we ignored God? Where we didn't follow him, where we didn't seek his ways, when we broke his rules or put ourselves on the throne? I know I have done that many, many times just over this last week. As if, like the Royal Exchange, written over my life is the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Dan is the Lord's and everything in him. And I fail to live as if that's the case. I forget what is engraved upon my heart, and I go my own ways. And that is why we should prepare, why we need to be prepared. Because one day Jesus is going to return, and when he returns, he will be seen as Lord and King. And on that day, every knee will bow. And every tongue proclaim that he is Lord of all. It's as if what is written over the Royal Exchange now, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, will be seen truly by everyone. That indeed the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That is going to be true on that day when Jesus returns. So we need to prepare for that now. We need to live with that as true now. And yet, if you're anything like me, and I suspect you are, we fail to do that. So that leads us to our second question. Not just why should we prepare for the coming of the king, but how do we prepare? If we realize that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, that Jesus is going to return, and I don't really live up to what is engraved on my heart, then how do I get ready? That is the question, really, at the center of this psalm. Who can live with God as king? That's really what David is asking. He's saying, look, if there's a king better than me, how do we live rightly with him? It's there in verse 3. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can walk into God's presence? Who can stand securely in the presence of God? When Jesus returns in all of his majesty, who's going to stand there feeling okay? And the answer is given to us in verse 4. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. Here at the heart of the psalm is how to lift up our heads, how to get ready and prepare for the coming of the king. It is to have clean hands and a pure heart. Now that might seem rather simple in one sense. Clean hands and a pure heart, that sounds very easy to say, but we know it's very tricky to do. Because our hands often aren't clean, are they? And our hearts aren't pure. They wander off in so many different directions. So how on earth do we get ready for the coming of the king? Well, the answer is, to look to Christmas. I know I said it's not really about coming, getting ready for Christmas, but you see, the reason why Advent is here is because in order to prepare for the second coming of Jesus, we need to remember why he came in the first place. You see, the heart of Christmas is the true royal exchange. The building in the heart of London might have these words from the psalm, but the true royal exchange is found not in the city of London and not even really at Christmas, but at Easter. But it starts at Christmas, because at Christmas, the King of Glory, who owns everything belongs to him, comes into this world. He becomes part of this world. The creator becomes a creature. It is a royal exchange. The king takes off his crown and becomes a little baby. And he did so in order that to give us clean hands and a pure heart. He came as a baby in a manger so that he would go to the cross and the resurrection. So that he would take all our dirt and muck on himself, all our impurity on his shoulders, and take them to the cross and wipe them clean. That is the true royal exchange. And that is the true thing to remember as we get ready for Christmas and as we get ready for the return of Jesus. How do we prepare? Well, actually, it's not really about what we have to do. It's about what he has done for us. And it is about staying, therefore, close to him. I said before that, rather jokingly, that the Queen must think that everywhere smells of fresh paint, because everywhere is freshly painted, except for one place, the palace where she lives. That's not painted every day, because the palace is always ready for the monarch. And if you like, that is how we prepare for the king. Not about a long list of things to do. Not about, oh, I must get better at that or do better at that and perform better in this way. It is about being in the right place. It's being with the king in his palace. You see, how do we prepare for Jesus' return? Well, it's to remember that he is with us now by his Spirit. And it is to stay close to him now and every day. So that when he returns, actually we're not surprised. Because he's never left us or forsaken us. But he is with us. And we long for his return. We can say, come, Lord Jesus. Because we know who he is. What he has done, and we know we are with him each and every day. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for that royal exchange that takes our muck and impurity and gives us your royal welcome. So we pray that we might be well prepared for your son's return by staying close to him each and every day. Help us to know that and to do that this Advent, to stop in the midst of everything going on preparing for Christmas and to take time to remember why Christmas happened in the first place. In Jesus' name, amen.